Blog Talk Radio. علی شیطان رجیم بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. I only bear witness that I testify there's no God but one God, proper name is Allah. And I only bear witness that Allah has sent his last prophet, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who is the seal of the prophets, meaning there's no more prophet to come. All the prophecy have been prophesied, and what we see today is the reality of that prophecy. So we thank Allah for this wonderful world he has planted us on. Test us, see which one is worthy of a great reward he has kept hidden from us. And we get that as we strive to do right as human beings. So we thank Allah for this Broad Talk radio station coming out of California under the guidance of Amin Muhammad. And we thank, and this is sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad's STEM School. So, STEM Cell School. So we thank Allah for all of this that we have been trusted with. We thank Allah for blessing us, most of all, for being a human being and a Muslim. Both of them go together. Because one of them means admit to the will of God, and you can submit to the will of God and not be really a true human being. So we're here tonight on talking about human rights, what is right for the human being that God have give us in Scripture. And we follow that what's in Scripture, we follow what is humanly right. So we thank Allah for choosing us to be Muslim, to being upright, being one who take on the challenge of submitting their will to the will of God. And we thank Allah for the opportunity. And the next thing we're going to do now is thank Allah through the prayer that he has given us. And this prayer is called Al-Fatiha. He has given us to open things up. And this is the prayer we make every time we open, make our 5 days of Salat. This is the first prayer that we make every day when we're making our Salat 5 times a day. Called Al-Fatiha means to open. And we want to open this conco with a prayer. And then first we will say it in the Arabic language, the language that it was given to us in a pure language called Al-Bil. We want to say it in that language, then we'll come back and say it in the English translation, inshallah. Humalay Shaitan Rajin. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbilalameen. Rahman Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayri maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. We seek protection. Seek protection from Allah, the Lord, cherished stain of all the world, most gracious, most merciful, the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid we seek. Allah, please continue always showing us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy favor, and not of those who wrath were brought down, another though who would go astray. Ameen. Greet our audience tonight in the most excellent greeting of all, the greeting in the world. And that greeting is in Scripture, throughout the Scripture, where prophets left or came among the people. And they, when they did, they greeted those people in peace. And I'm sure they got that from the Creator. And the best way to do that was to say, "I salam alaikum," meaning "God, peace be unto you." None of the prophets spoke anything other than the language that God had given them, the Shedda language, and that was the Arabic. So they had to say, "I salam alaikum," since English was not in existence in the time of the prophets. So we thank Allah for all the wisdom and knowledge that He was giving us. And we're here tonight on this Rock Talk Radio to get rid of the evil that had been presented to us throughout the world. No matter where we live in the world, African Americans, people of color, have been traumatized by people that have light skin. Traumatized. Why? Because they've been told God, the Creator of all human beings, came in a Caucasian image. And that lie had been went all over the world. Even in Ukraine, you see them practicing racism. One think they're better than the other. They wouldn't let the took all the people that had dark skin off the train that were leaving there because of threat of war. These are students. They come there, trust themselves to be sent there to get an education. Russia decided to take over this country when this country wanted to join the UN. And nobody stopped them. I heard President Biden said that America have been fighting in too many wars and too many the people have been sent home in body bags. They don't think they need a war. But they don't think like that when they fight a so-called Muslim country. They mount up and go and do what they going to do. They take over the country. But they didn't do that in Ukraine. They didn't mount up to go to Ukraine to help them defend their country. So, see, so there you go to show you that racism is in everything. Football game, basketball game, swimming, no matter what you do. And it ain't going nowhere until the image of that false image of God is taken out the world. Got to go. It caused too much friction between the human family. The human family is having too many problems. We'll never be able to come together long as the image is displayed in a Caucasian image as God, not a white image. You know, if you saw snow, you know you seen some white. If you seen the darkness of the night where you can't see nothing, then you seen some black. But God said He made human beings, and human beings uplift themselves by saying they're human beings. But when they say they black, detraction, because God ain't never said He made no black people. This pull away from that inner self that God wants the person to see himself as an inner self and a human being. And He could never do that because of the language that they done put out for years. The imam said it's in the language. And the imam, like Elijah said, so-called black, so-called white, the people that enslaved us, they're more blacker in their character than we are. We didn't steal them. We didn't bring them over here and work them for 100 years. We have no evidence we ever did anybody like that. But there's a psychological effect of that image. It's still affecting us in all kind of ways. I hear people talking about persuasion of our group. Talking about if you said too much about Imam, like you worship me, Imam. How can you worship a man that done so much and still doing great works left in this book. To worship him, you got to put a picture of him in front of you and pray to that picture. That's worship. But when you give him his property, what a great job he did among us. I know among me what a great job he did. And all the people that he helped come into the proper understanding of this religion, not just in America, but throughout the world. So this man deserved to be called, and me ma'am said not to bury him. And that's what they want to do. I ain't going to call his name. And you want to bury your leader. But you will call some sheikh or some ulama you don't even know nothing about. So Allah is the greatest. Allah is leading us out of this trap that they put us in. And we're going to come full circle out of this trap when we worship God in spirit and truth and see Imam W.D. Muhammad as the one who brought us and thank him for Allah sending him. He couldn't have came without Allah sending him. Elijah too. Elijah and Sister Claire Muhammad could not come in this world if God did not send him. So we thank Allah for all that is good. Martin Luther King and all the rest, Malcolm, we thank him to show us that we, as human beings, God so loved us that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's racism. God so loved the world, he put all of us in this world to test us and see which one worthy of the great prize, the great reward that he wants to give us. So in prayer and doing what's right. So I'm on the, got other people on this Black Talk radio station, and we want those who want to come in, all they got to do is match one and come into the queue, and we will turn your mic on and give you opportunity to express yourself. And that's a goal for everybody anybody in the queue. We're here because we see a problem, and we believe that this Quran, the Al-Quran, is the solution to that problem. So let's get busy getting rid of these images and praying to one God and living the good life that the one God has given us. So let's work hard, huh? They done made us everything but a human being. That's what their goal was, and that's what their goal is still, to keep somebody to walk on, and they have chosen us as a people, and then they have given us all kind of suggestions that we are 3/5 of a human being, that we don't have the insensitivity that they have. We are not smart as they are. All these lies that they have given us and then added to those lies through other forms of speaking, the chocolate cake and the devil food cake and relating that to us. The angel food cake is the best cake related to them. The black cat is the evil cat. The white cat is the best of the cats, although they come from the same mama. But this is a psychological effect and idea that they have brought about in this world to keep us in this condition that we're in. So we're working out, we're tearing these items up and these images up. And it's catching on throughout the world. And pretty soon we will have a normal world because nobody wants to be accused of being a racist in the coming years. Everybody wants to be considered as a human being, as one person or one people, one community, worshiping God and getting along with the human family that God has planted us in. So we're here tonight. So anybody wants to say anything, match one and come into your queue. and we will turn your mic on. And we are so glad to have you tonight. My name is Brother Abdullah Akbar. I'm a co-host worker here on this Blog Talk radio station, along with my wife, Zahir Akbar, who on Sundays and Tuesdays, she's running the board. I'm running the board 4 days a week, and she's running 2 days. So we thank Allah for the opportunity. And we also have others working with us. One brother come out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Suja Muhammad, coming out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, him and his wife, and they be on. So, and also we have Brother Muhammad coming out of Columbus, Georgia. We have a variety of good people that we call on this Block Talk radio station. And we also have Imam Ibrahim Abdullah. He's an imam in LaGrange, Georgia, but right now he resides in Atlanta, Georgia. So we thank Allah for each and every one that comes on this Blog Talk radio station and bring and add to the greatness of it. And we always allow new people to come on. We got a new brother coming next week, Brother Hameen Abdullah from New York, Bronx, New York, out of the Bronx in New York, will be on next week, inshallah. And then we have Brother Imam Furqan Muhammad to come back on, and Brother Yusuf Muhammad coming out of Yusuf Abdullah coming out of Nashville, Tennessee, and maybe we may have his son on too, and his wife, and most of his family, inshallah. So we got a variety of people lining up to come on and express themselves on this show. So anybody want to come on and come in, all you got to do is match one. And we will see you in the queue and cut your mic on. Anybody have anything they would like to say that's match one, and that will bring you into the queue, and we will see your, that look like a little hand that pops up there, and we will see that hand light up now that, and we can't help but look seeing that hand because that hand is white. It's truly white, and it lights up, and we will turn your mic on and let you begin to share your experience of what you like to say with us, and we will listen to you like you have listened to us. We thank Allah for this Blog Talk radio station. It's a mercy for the world. Man, because there's a lot of sick people that image are made and on all sizes, on African American, Jews and Caucasian and Germans and Chinese, Japanese, and you can name it. They all have a touch of that image in there, and that's why Brother Hameen Muhammad, he came on and told us about this man that made a million images, and he put them on a ship, and he took them all over the world. And we can see what those images done and still doing. So we got a job. Those people had money, patience, and they did what they set out to do. And we're going to do what we said. We're going to rid the world of all these dumb images that been put in the world. Now, if you have a problem and coming on, and you can't get in, you match one, and it won't allow you to come into the queue, you have to call me at 404-421-5630, 404-421-5630, and I will see your hand up. I will hear you call me, and I will cut your mic on. We are told not to cut no mic on, and then somebody raise their hand. He said, that's violating that person privacy when you cut their mic on and without them asking to do so. That disrespect. So anybody who wants to turn on their mic, they turn your mic on. I see how one of the co-workers on the board, Brother Sujah Muhammad, all you got to do is match one and come into the queue. You know how it goes. So we thank Allah. We know the thing going on in all over the world, and all of it looks like it's affecting the whole world. I don't know what kind of people we got, which turned most of the revenue to Russia. And they all say, I don't know what kind of people would do that. And they don't want to buy from the Muslims. The Muslims ain't trying to be no superpower to kill and take somebody's land. That's not in us. We don't have no record of that. But they'll tell a lie. And we're terrorists. They will tell that big lie, we the terrorists. And they number one, if that was a common copy, or that was a excerpt, a big picture made of a terrorist, then the Caucasian people would be number one in line as the biggest terrorist that ever been created on this earth. They'd be number one. And we can name the thing they number one, and stealing land. Now they were taking this and taking that, approving homosexuality. They number one in all that foolishness. We never approved that. So, and murder, they were showing these Caucasians stand in land in America. And there's no African American nowhere in the town, nowhere around. And they got a serial killer that lives among them that's killing their people, killing the people. Okay, well, I see brother got a hand though. So I'm going to go and bring him in, inshallah, with the help of Allah, and let him come in and share share what he has to say with the community. The people. So let me cut his mic on. Hand been raised. So all praise due to Allah. Well,
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I heard you talking. I had a brother knock on the door, so I had to cut him short.
Lord,
wake up. Well, I wish you could have stood around. You could have learned something. I told him I want him to come on the show sometime, say a few words. I'm going to give him the number and everything. Ask him to come on the show.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
Please be good.
So I know you say you're ready. You stay ready, so you got it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I also testify, and I also bear witness that there is only one God, one creator. And I bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the prophet, messenger of Allah, and he's God's servant. Brothers and sisters, we in good shape. We in good hands, good shape. Being a Muslim today is the best thing. I'm telling you, it's the best thing you can be, is being Islam and being a Muslim. Allah would just let you feel it. You can feel it. That you're in the right, you're in the right place, you're in the right thing, you know, being a Muslim. all this was going on today, it was definitely motivate you and make you feel good that you're in Islam, that you chose Islam, you know. And all these other things, they point straight towards racism. Racism. You got many peoples that's in these other religions, they coming to us and talking to us. And they want to learn more about Islam. You see? And you have a whole lot of peoples that's putting down that old religion, keeping it down, brothers and sisters. You know, I mean, it's just the people that's been lying to you. God got a son. Three gods. Somebody died for your sin. You know, all that. They find out all this stuff ain't nothing but lies. And you got people like P.D. Jake and the rest of them is on television and touching you and lying to you and talking about they got the power of healing and all that stuff. You know, they can touch you and heal you. You know, the people are waking up to all this here, brothers and sisters. And we knew it was going to happen before it happened. We knew that this day was going to come, you know, where people's going to recognize Islam. But they did everything that they can, or that they could, to put the light of Islam out. Let's think about it. They did everything that they could to put it out. Put out the light of Islam. Don't mess around with the Mohammedanism. Them people is terrorists. I mean, they did everything they could, you know, to stop you from looking. Just looking at the Quran. You got many peoples, brothers and sisters, that haven't even opened up the Quran, haven't read the last revelation, haven't even read the book. And I asked them, but can't you just read the book? They can't do that. Their Lord and Savior. I believe in all of it. I believe in all of it. I said, okay. You know, because our book says there should be no compulsory. There should be no force, you know. I can't force you to read the book. I can't force you to look at Islam. You got to do it on your own, you know. And that's one of the covenants, that you bear witness that there's only one God, and that's Prophet Muhammad. Is the seal of the prophet, the messenger of Allah. You know, that's one way. That's how you become a Muslim. Bear witness to the truth. You see, and when you do that, that day, at that time, all your sins, what you did in the past, God said He cleaned the whole slate. The whole slate is clean. All your sins. Yeah. Think about all them sins that you done done. When you join Islam, when you make the covenant, or you bear witness that there is only one God, that means you won't have to forget about all these other gods. And that you bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is the last prophet, the messenger of Allah, God's servant. And when you say that, repeat it after the brother, you become a Muslim. Your whole slate is clean. All your sins are forgiven. All your sins. You know. So that's, no other religion offer you that, brothers and sisters. They don't offer you nothing like that. And then when you get into religion, Islam is not a racist religion. only way you can call it a racist religion is got all the races in it. You can say that. It has all the races in it, you know. But there's no superiority over white, over black, red, or yellow. You see, God said the only thing that makes you superior is the one that's most obedient to God, and the most, and the one that is God conscious. You see, and He said that's what makes you superior. You know, and Islam teaches you to submit your will to God. Because God gave all of us, the Christians, the Jews, the atheists, all human beings, all the children of Adam was given a free will. We all can say, I believe in that truth that you're teaching. Or I believe in Islam. Or I believe in Christianity or Judaism. I believe in that, in that ideology that you're teaching. Or you can say, I don't believe in it. You can say, I believe in three gods. I believe that God had a son. You know, you got a free will. People have given people a misunderstanding about Islam. And many people think that we're just like the mafia, you know, that we oppress us. And we force things on you, and you can't get out of religion. You know, no sir, brothers and sisters. The only thing that in Islam that you should fear, and that is God. You should fear God. You know. So we open invite all different peoples, all the children of Adam, to look at Islam, study Islam, you know. And when you get into the studying of Islam, you pick that book up and you got a sincere heart and you serious, it's going to be hard for you to put it down. I'm talking about just for the next day. I ain't talking about putting it down forever. I'm talking about putting it down for when you pick it up. Just putting it down. Or getting tired. I mean, when you read the Quran, you will know that the words in there is from God. It can't be from man. You're coming to that realization that this man can't say nothing like this. This is not for man. Our book, the Quran, said that God neither beget, nor is he begotten. And there's none like him. That's what the Quran said. That he neither begets, nor is he begotten. And there's none like him. Praise be to God. You know, the Quran say that not one leaf falls off a tree without God knowledge. One leaf. And he knows, he has the count of the sand, the grains of sand in the desert. You see? And you say that God say in the Quran that if you take all the ocean, all the rivers and the sea, and you use it as ink, and you try to write down the knowledge of God, they will be exhausted over and over and over again. That's what God said. So you use all that as ink, and you can't write down his knowledge. You see? So brothers and sisters, you know, we're just inviting you to come and check it out, and we pray that God inspire and bless you. You know, there's no force. And if you check it out, you don't have to join nothing. You know, anytime you come into Islam, it's not you're not doing a favor to God. You know, if you pray to God in Islam, you're not doing him a favor. You know, so we thank you. We pray we had said something that will encourage you or enlighten you. And we're asking you to check out the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah. Talk to a Muslim brother or sister, and they'll get one for you. We came in peace. We're going to leave in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, look at some I am. Allahu Akbar. See, that's straight to the point. No curves. That he just made a right and kept straight. So that's what this religion is about. Truth. And a truth so plain that a 2-year-old or 4-year-old can understand that. God didn't give us a religion to be hard that we can't understand. Man have confused religion for many reasons, and most of the time is get control of the money that he's trying to get out of here. Rev. Mike used to say he can't lose with the stuff he used, and he would add a little truth with a whole lot of falsehood. But he made money. But I wonder how that money helping him and he's in the grave. I believe if you do wrong, you're going to reap what you sow. But you do right, then Allah is going to reward you for all the good effort that you put out. Even a lot of times you just be trying. So we thank Allah for Al-Quran, what came to make the Bible much clearer than what it is today. The Bible was a book that had a whole lot of confusion in it and was hard to break down. And if you use the Bible, you better get you a bottle of aspirin because it was so hard to understand that it would make your head hurt trying to read between the lines. But Al-Quran comes with clear understanding to clear up the lies that's been given to us all these years. So we thank Allah for Al-Quran. We thank Him for all the good people that He sent and put before us to get us where we are today, because a lot of people lost their life trying to bring in this religion, and they tried, and many of them was murdered. And so we thank Allah for those people who sacrificed their good life so we can have this truth. And we should have known something when Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And we know that was wrong for what they were doing for us, doing to us, but they, you know, the courts and the way they had us stand across the track, we know it was wrong, and we know that it was truly wrong, but we couldn't get no results from those lies that were given to us. We're going to get no results from that. Now we know the truth. And Christ Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And Jesus spoke of one coming after him. And we know today there's no other figure that we can come up with other than Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, who is the seal of the prophets. Jesus spoke about this man coming, and he came over 1,443 years ago. Pretty soon will be 1,444 years. But we thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah. May the peace and blessing be always and ever be on him and his companion and all his relatives and all the great people that follow him, follow him to up to today. So I'd like to We got another one of our lead speakers to come on, Brother Ibrahim Abdullah, who is the Imam of LaGrange, Georgia. We see him in the queue, and we're going to see if we get him to come up and share with us some of the events that he ran into today and some of the experience he have in with the Quran and other things. Brother Ibrahim Abdullah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Well, I got some lamb, champ. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. And you?
I'm doing a lot well myself. Thank you. Hope you and your family doing well. So now we want to turn this back over to you and let you keep sharing to God's chair some good things with us. So now your time, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah, I'm driving. I'm trying to get in. So you won't hear no wind, but in event you hear something, you know I'm driving. I'll pray be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, the one who calls all that exists to exist. We bear witness that there's nothing but one whose proper name is Allah. And we also bear witness and testify that the final revelation that he sent to mankind in the world over through Prophet Muhammad is his last servant, his messenger, and his seal of the prophet. The only problem we have today with the people is that they don't want to recognize the truth when it's written all over their face. You know, it's like our parents and grandparents, we used to come in the house when doing something wrong, they can look at you and say, boy, then what you done did not. See, the truth is so prevalent today in this society. That's why they throwing everything they can at you, cars, women, money, home, dogs, everything, to keep you from recognizing and seeing the truth. If Jesus said the truth will set you free, why aren't you seeking the truth? Why are you still playing dilly-dally with your life, your children's life, your wife's husband's life, your parents? Why? Because you don't want to know the truth. When Jesus was saying, know you the truth and the truth will set you free, he was speaking to a special kind of mind, a special kind of people. The people that he was talking to from that day to now, the kind of mind those people had in them, where they might have went wrong at one time, but in them, they had the kind of mind, I want to do right. So when they would hear the word that was spoken by all those great prophets, they adhered to it. So ask yourself the question. Why aren't you adhering to it? How can we build a nation? How can we build our own community and you still want to play? You say you want to be free. Do you know what freedom means? Freedom means responsibility. When you get free and get a job, you got a wife, you got children, that don't mean every time you get paid on Friday, you go see Ann or Joanne or Raymond or Bob. You go take care of your family. That's the freedom and the responsibility that you've got to come along with that freedom. But see, we still want to play. But you know what they're saying? What did you say about playing? They said when you play, you got to pay. Look how many people lose their lives today over stupid stuff. Young men and young women lose their lives. He is sort of my woman. You ain't got damn ring on her finger. You ain't got no papers in your possession to take her out of her daddy's name, a family name, and put in your name. But then your life is gone. Something stupid. Stupid. And vice versa with the woman's the same way. That's my man. That ain't your man. How are you your man? You don't even know what man means. But that's your man with his hand running out behind his butt. Everyone walk, drive by him in the car, he's winking at him. He don't have no job. He drop you off at work, get it in the morning, and keep your car for 8 hours. You don't know what the hell he's doing or where he at. But that's your man? Okay, you can have it, because what you got is the world. All that is world product, and it's written all over the characteristics of that person that you don't even understand. That's the sad part about it. What we try to do, praise be to God, is give understanding, not no spooky way, not that old hallelujah stuff, no. All praise due to Allah stuff. We try to give you understanding where you can make your life better and come out of the hellish conditions and situations and decide to put on you and that you allow yourself to go that way. They didn't force you to go that way. Satan didn't make you go that way. Satan says in scripture, I just called and you came. I didn't have a 45. I didn't have a 38 or Gatling gun. All I did was call. And you love my voice. And now, what's Satan I'm talking about? Oh, come here, honey. That's the Satan right there. You say his voice is seductive. So you just think it's a spook or something. I know. But it wasn't no spook when it told you, come here, honey. And you look, eyes got big. Oh, man, she fine. And you didn't know that you're getting ready to tangle with the devil. And when the devil bit you, took all your possessions, you found it with another man. What did that snake tell you? You know the snake, but you brought me in. So you know the nature of a snake. A snake gonna bite you. I don't care what kind of food you feed it. Take it into your arm, put it up your bosom, tug it, squeeze it. It's gonna bite you because that's its nature to bite you. And speaking of the snake, let me give you a good picture. There's a lady was raising one. Baby python. And she got upset because the snake stopped eating. So she took the snake to a vet, veterinarian. Told the vet that he don't want to eat. I put mice in the cage and salad, whatever, but he won't eat. And the veterinarian stood there and looked at her. After he examined the snake, but he was more or less examining her than he was a snake. He said, you know why the snake don't want to eat? She said, no, I really don't know. He said, because the snake will size you up and swallow you. Now, that's the same thing these niggas do when you get them out in the street. All they do is size you up to swallow you emotionally. To get your little money, drive your little car, but yet you got a man. Why a man ain't taking care of you? Now, I'll say the man's responsibility is what? He's the maintainer, provider and protector of the woman. Now that's God's law. So who law you want? God's law or the street law? That's why you're in the condition you're in. You want the street law. You don't want to change. I come to you in peace, going to leave you in peace. I said I'm on a phone. If anybody here, see my old friend John.
A long way, bro.
Hey, bro.
A long way, Bob. Excellent talk. And now we're getting ready to go into our businesses. And
yes, sir.
How much do we think of? We say alhamdulillah, and Allah want us to compete and with each other in a race that all that is good for all of us. And so we're in that race, and we got to go in business, and we got to stop those things that trip our children up from going into business. Like the TV, I remember our people love Rocky, because Rocky, the champ, he fought like an underdog, and he got beat up, and he won. And people that love Rocky, but Rocky wasn't real.
That
wasn't real. That was a movie. And it moved in our life to take away the real heroes like Muhammad Ali and others because they couldn't become no champion because they couldn't. At that time, we were the diamond in the ring fighting for not only the human right, but fighting for the dignity of our human family. Of our family, so, and now they don't come with all these superstars, they a band, and then they show you how much these rappers are getting paid. So our people, most of the young men and women, want to be rappers for the money they make, and they get a chance to say any feel the thing they want to say. You don't have to be an educated person to be a rapper. All you got to do is be able to put some words together that might sound like they're going somewhere. And they'll give you $1 million. Bet you just keep the word nigga in it. Call the women B's and H's. Just keep that all that language going. And these people will give you $1 million, $1 billion, because you're going to draw all the people like Pipe Piper them round up some rats. And they will draw all them people, especially our young people. And then we as parents said, oh, they're just going through their teenage year. That rap music ain't got nothing to do with their teenage year. It got something to do with their behavior, their attitude, and their character and everything else. And they shouldn't be allowed in your house to listen to such music. That ain't freedom, is responsibility, like been said. And you're an unresponsible parent giving your child every dumb thing that this world offers. Tattoos, earring all in their face. Dress like a hoodlum, act like a hoodlum. Huh? When you give your child all them things, you just well throw him in a furnace or something and let him burn, because that is exactly what that person or that child is headed to burn. So we had to change all of that. You know, I know people used to drink, but they didn't drink in front of their children. Children never seen them drink, never seen them doing all the dumb things that they can show you on TV today. They didn't show you. Now you can see anything on the TV. So is somebody trying to say something? I know I asked what I mean to come back and tell us about the gangs that he has discovered, how they came to Los Angeles and recruited one flow of people and called them Cribs, and other flow of people Blood, and then they would tell the people they had on that flow that stayed on a certain side of town that you were Blood, and the other flow they would tell them they were Crib. And that's how the gangs got started. Mm-hmm. It had to take some grown people to do. Young people, we used to huddle together and throw rocks, and that's about it. We didn't want to think about beating up old people, robbing nobody. But now that's the case. Crips and the Blues. I tell them when I go to the jail, like they didn't divide them up in jail. They put in the Fulton County jail where I'm a chaplain. They bring them all in there together, and I tell them to say the Crip gonna make you Blood, and the Blood gonna make you crippled. I said in the end that these people that you go to court in front of gonna control and master all of you. It's stupid. You a Blood and Crip. Human beings do not kill each other. And you're supposed to be a human being before you be any of them things. And the only thing, those things is a label that you allow to put on yourself because you want to be, you want some kind of protection. You want to be tough. I told them you want to be tough, I'll get you on your skyscraper, on you some plane to fly. That make you tough. Own you some land and put some cows on. That would make you tough. So, Brother Hameen, you want to come back and share some of that information about the Blood and the Crib? He brought us some information, and Brother Hameen is one who run this show, over this show. Brother Hameen, you want to come and share anything about? He came and told us about the rappers, how they got them all together and threatened them, take their livelihood away from them, and told them this is what they want them to sing, and told them they're going to be making a whole lot of prison, and these songs going to call a lot of our people to go to jail. So they was told to invest in the prison. young people, singer, the rapper. And some of them did, and a lot of them did. But this is what these are the spirits that they have used over around the country on the African American community. Conspiracy. If you take a look, you can see the neighborhood in Los Angeles, the neighborhood in Florida or Mississippi. The attitude, the makeup is all the same. So somebody trying to say something. Anybody want to say anything? So we here tonight trying to make you aware that we do ourselves a great favor when we spend our money with each other. I tell the people out on the street all the time they need to be a boot out here like the Jews used to do, selling their goods. I said, the art of living is not how much you spend, but how much you can save, how much you can invest in your life. That is the art of living. Just buying everybody tennis shoes that comes out every month, that ain't living. Somebody being pimped, if you know what a pimp is, somebody is being a pimp by the shoemaker. Huh? Don't think that the pimp is the one got somebody out on the corner selling their body. A pimp is always in the liquor store, got you hooked on the liquor that he's selling. Or the cigarette, the brand of cigarette that you smoke. You've been pimped all the way to the hospital, then the graveyard, smoking those people's cigarettes. You got to have one every time you drink a soda or a cup of coffee or go in the bathroom. You've been pimped. So we thank Allah for all this precious understanding and knowledge. So, Brother Amin, you want to say anything about what you shared with us last night? Brother Amin, I don't want to cut your mic on because you might have to scold me because you told me not to cut it on unless somebody got something to say, and I respect that. Oh, yes, I respect that. I follow that protocol. So, but if you want to say something, you know, I guess you're going to wait a little while longer to come in to say anything about that because we sure need to hear that. Oh, he raised his hand. All praises are due to Allah, Allah Akbar. So let me bring out the head of this Rock Talk radio station on, Brother Hameen. Muhammad.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum, chief.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
We forever thank Allah for blessing us to be a part of his religion, to believe in his religion. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes, all praise be to Allah. Yeah, I'm over here at the post office selling some art. I got a Nipsey Russell here. A Nipsey Hussle here. And I got a picture that people love. It's with Mandela, Barack Obama, Dr. King, and Malcolm X. It's all in, you know, Malcolm X, Dr. King, and Mandela's like they sitting down. And Obama's standing up. It's a nice picture, real nice picture, historic picture. Before COVID came, I sold a lot of those, so I got a few more. And it's kind of like a lot of older people love that picture. Oh, it's really nice. It's Mandela, Dr. King, Malcolm X sitting down, and Obama standing up and he's just having a big laugh, you know. He's really having a good time. Praise be to Allah. So I'm selling this art. It's kind of tough. I wish I could sell it on the internet, make it easy. You know what I mean? Make it easy because that's the way of the world. That internet. Alhamdulillah. So, yeah. All praises be to Allah, brother. This is business and. People come up every once in a while. They pay their $40,
they, you know, I sell each of these 2x3 pictures for $40, and you know, I get them for little over half that price, so I make a little profit, you know, and praise be to Allah. So this is what I'm doing, and I'm looking for other opportunity to keep the money coming.
That's
you
right.
know, all praise be to Allah. So the internet, if I could do it on the internet, but you know, what I really want to do before, you know, is I want to tell people about what I learned from Dr. Ernie Smith way back. Dr. Ernie Smith was a pediatrician, a doctor at Martin Luther King Hospital, and he used to track these gangs. He used to keep track of what the newspapers say about these gangs, what the police are saying about these gangs, and all that. And this is right after Dr. King was killed, because we started hearing about the Crips right after Dr. King was killed, like in 1969. And it's something that as a people, we ain't never had any type of movement where we just considered each other the enemy. Boy, that's something. Except for that short period of time where the FBI orchestrated, they did an experiment. And the FBI orchestrated that situation with the Black Panther Party, Huey Newton and Bobby Seale and them, against Maulana Karanga, to us. And they used that COINTELPRO program to send letters to the Black Panther Party in the name of the US organization, and then send dirty letters, poison pen letters, to the US organization in the name of the Black Panther Party. And so them people, because you can see interviews now with Elaine Brown and some of them other sisters who used to be a part of the Black Panther Party, and Elgis Cleaver's wife, what's her name? Cleaver, I forgot her first name, but she's on interview, and they bear witness. They say, we was getting so many letters saying that the US organization was about to kill us and shoot us and shoot our kids, and then the US organization was swearing that Black Panthers were sending them letters, but that was all the FBI. That was William Sullivan and J. Edgar Hoover. And what they did, what J. Edgar Hoover did, he put out a memo, and he told the agents, all them agents, if you come up with a novel plan, if you come up with a plan, if you come up with the best plan to how to deal with these African Americans who are, you know, protesting and for their rights, we're gonna give you a bonus. And we're going to give you like a raise. They're going to, in other words, give you all types of props if you could come up with the plan. So somehow somebody came up with this plan to create these armies of young people, these armies, call them the Bloods on one side, call them the Crips on the other side, and what we could do to get this army of black folks at each other's throats. To hunt each other down, to kill each other. I mean, you know, over the years, these Bloods and Crips was going into each other's neighborhoods and lighting each other up. Boy, them children was going in and who you claiming blood? Who you claiming? And go in there and just light each other up. I'm telling you, I live right there in a section of town in Compton called Fruit Town. They call it Fruit Town because the streets was like Peach Street and Plum Street and Cherry Street. And then across the other way, it was a place they call Treetop. Treetop was arbutus, like trees, like spruce tree, arbutus, you know what I mean, Elm Street. You know, they call that Treetop. And so I lived in Fruit Town, and I'm telling you, when I first started teaching when I first started teaching, I had a class, and they had them Crips in my class, and they was in there bragging about how they was, had gone into Fruit Town, shot up Fruit Town. And I was raised up in Fruit Town, like I say, on Plum Street. So I'm listening to this, and, you know, I didn't let them know that I lived and was raised in Plum Street, you know. And so, you know, this one kid was giving me a bad time, so I called his mama up there. Actually, you know, his mama came up there and almost beat him to death, you know what I mean, because he called himself smart ass. Good expression, you know. Anyway, and I said, "Ma'am, you know, you got to stop that. You can't draw blood on this kid." I guess she was tired of him, you know what I mean? Tired of him, but she was beating his butt. I mean, I'm talking about physical, you know what I mean? And but anyway, yeah, he was the one saying, "Yeah, we shot up Fruit Town, you know, shot up Fruit." So they would. I was cleaning up the room. This is way back in 1989, cleaning up the room, and I was sweeping my room after school was out, and I saw this coat, and so I picked up the coat, and the coat was kind of heavy, and so I kind of like shook the coat. Somebody, one of these kids had left the coat in the room, and so I looked in the pocket, and there was bullets. There was bullets all in the coat. And so I took it to LaVon Johnson, my principal at the time. I say, "Well, this is what we got. I'm cleaning up the room, and I come across this coat, and I shook it up and hit these bullets. And, well, whose coat is it?" So we find out whose coat was it. And he, "Give me my bullets. Give me my bullets. No, those are my bullets." And Ms. Johnson, "No, I ain't giving you no bullets. We need to call the police. You know, yeah, give him my bullets." So these kids was taking this to a very serious level. They was taking it because that was what the police department and the FBI and the CIA, that was a part of their COINTELPRO program. The COINTELPRO program that we know about is lightweight and soft. I mean, what they did to the Nation of Islam, because the Imam even told us about how they did the Nation of Islam. They had a lot of infiltrators in there, and they had them doing stuff. And the FBI had like one brother came on the radio, Blog Talk Radio. He said they infiltrated a lot of dope dealers and everything. Right before the Imam came in, in the early 70s, they had dope dealers, drug dealers. And the whole idea was to corrupt the Nation of Islam, corrupt it. You know what I mean? You know, you take it away from a righteous movement and make it into something like gangsters. And, you know, at the time, and like in 74 when I was coming in, you had brothers talking about Nation of Islam is about money and money. And you had brothers in there just selling Heron had taco stands selling Heron, you know. So one brother on Blog Talk Radio, I forgot his name now, but I was listening to him about a month and a half ago, and he said that was happening all over the nation. You know, the FBI had let a lot of them guys come out of prison and told them to go join the Nation of Islam and corrupt it, you know, right before the Imam came in. And that's what the Imam had to deal with. And he did it. Allah blessed us. Allah blessed the Imam. Allah blessed us, you know what I mean, to get rid of that. The Imam talked it righteous, you know what I mean. He talked morality, cleanliness, good sense, wholesomeness. He told us the history of his father and mother and how they, you know, wanted and had a righteous organization, a good, clean organization before the gangsters started coming in. But the FBI, you know, that was a part of their scheme. They had their people in there in order to corrupt the Nation of Islam. You know what I mean? But that's one phase of COINTELPRO. But the COINTELPRO that I would want people to know is what Dr. Ernie Smith taught me. You know what I mean? A lot of this is circumstantial because, you know, I mean, they say, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I wasn't a part of the police department. I wasn't a part of FBI. So this is just hearsay. I'm just going to tell the people, you know, hearsay. This is what, you know, this is, you know, do this make sense? Do this make sense? And, you know, let them know that they created the Bloods and Crips to drive a serious wedge in our neighborhoods, among our children, and have our and over the years they had did so many hits and so many assassinations of different neighborhoods and everything that a lot of these kids was taking this stuff so seriously. Boy, they'd come in and they'd light up each other, light up and shoot and kill and maim and kidnap each other and shoot, all in the name of being a Blood and all in the name of being a Crip. You know, so that's the story I want to tell. So, alhamdulillah, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Akbar. Turn it over to you, and you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit more because it's on my heart and on my mind. I want to get this story out.
Yes, sir.
One way or another.
Yes, sir. And to it sounds like it. Something I seen. I mean, I come into the nation. There was good people there, and there was people that I was suspicious of. And because they was out of character. They would say one thing and doing this. They would say, well, we supposed to do that, but I'm going to do it. So so this is the kind of thing, the nation, that they send these infiltrators in. I went to school. Mm-hmm. I went to school with a guy, and I was down on Auburn Avenue selling paper, and he become an FBI man, he said. And he didn't want a little information. He was going to pay me. That guy was a, then the same guy came on our property and tried to get steal. On our property, people left cars, and in them cars, there were a lot of frames, and the frames, they worth money. And so they wanted to get them off there and take them to the junkyard. And I asked him right in front of all them other brothers, I said, you still FBI man? He said, yeah, I'm still FBI man. We got people like that. We got people that came among, we know how they did E-Man, YT, Mama. We know how they did Jesus and Moses and the Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. So, peace and blessing be upon him. So, it didn't change that much. The picture is just a little different, but those infiltrators is still coming in, and they're just corrupt anything that causes a good coming to the community of the world. Their job is to dissect and cause it not to come in focus. So we know that. We understand that. And for us to continue to work to do right, that person like that do not have a chance, don't stand a chance to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with the Craig Committee. And we go out sometimes. A guy come join us, and we get to church. They want to fight the Christians, you know. So we had to shut them down. Mm-hmm. Then whoop one of them ourselves, and then told them they gonna come back. But they were insisting on going in the church and tearing the image up, start fighting with the Christians. So we had to stop all that. And I was kind of glad it did shut down for that reason alone. Mm-hmm. That they people kept coming. Want to start a fight with the Christians. So,
right. It happened out here in California, too. That was, it was getting kind of radical. And, you know, some of them wanted to fight. And that was, you know, that was police. That police was agent provocateurs.
So, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Imam. So, appreciate you. Bring us up. Come back tomorrow. Okay, Brother Sujah.
Inshallah. Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Sujah. Sujah. Assalamu alaikum.
Good.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Look at my wife want to say something.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
the guy said I am. What I'm going to say is that Brother There's a brother in Los Angeles, Brother Donald Bakir. He had wrote a book on the Crips. And I was just wondering, did, you know, Brother Amin, did he ever read a book? But he wrote a book on the Crips during that time. And one time that I just want to add something on to what he said, you know, because I knew a brother that was part of the Crips. He became a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked him, and I even asked him, too, how that happened, you know. And he told me, he said, what happened was that, he said, one of the things that happened also was that, you know, during that time, you know, they had a lot of gangs start rising up. You know, people start getting into gangs. They start having those different gang movies like Untouchables and all that. But anyway, the people start, anyway, they start having gangs. And so what it is, they had a group of brothers that come in the neighborhood and always, you know, terrorize the people. So what they did is he said what they did is, I don't know which one, whatever one that was the
okay.
I don't know which one was the aggressor, was the one that first came
aggressor.
Was the blood of the Crips, which one that was first. But what happened was that the one that was aggressor, that's the one that came, always come through the neighborhood and mess with the other young men that, you know, coming from school, you know, et cetera. And so what they did is that they formed the gang. Then they formed to protect themselves from the Crips. He said that's what they did. And then they said what happened was, yes, you could say the police, or they had something to do with it, because then I talked to a police officer, you know, during that time, I talked to a police officer, and he said that what they used to do is they'll go tell the Crips one thing, and then they'll go tell the Bloods one thing, and then they'll step back and let them fight each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's how they started to fight right, like that. But he had wrote a book on the Crips, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
What you got to say,
I'm very aware of Donald Bakir. Yeah, I know him well. I know him very well. And we just, you know, discussed this a lot. And I used to kind of like tell Donald, you know, we got to think deeper, bro. We got to think deeper. We just can't think that Tookie Williams, the state of California executed him because of some murders, you know, he started the Crips. What they unleashed on our community was way bigger than a little African American starting up. See, children don't do that. Children can't keep something going year after year after year after year. It takes adults. That takes kind of like an intelligence thing. When I say intelligence, I mean like CIA, FBI. That was their thing. Their thing with us has been to destabilize our community ever since 1969, when Dr. King, this whole country lit up. It was all kind of rebellions all across the nation.
Yeah.
And that's when, especially when J. Edgar Hoover and, you know, got together with the CIA chiefs, Kobe and all of them, we got to come up with a plan. We got to come up with something. And so their plan was to infiltrate the local police department. See, it was all done by the police departments. The local police departments kept track of all the young men in between like 12 and 30 years old, all over. So they used California and Compton and California as an experiment how to do it. Because at the time we had a black mayor and, you know, and everything, black city council and, African-American city council and stuff. So they used Compton as a kind of like a experiment, how to do this, you know. You know, and then once they got it going, then they spread this Blood and Crip thing all across the nation. It was all in Indiana, talking about Bloods and Bloods all over, see. But the whole idea was to destabilize. Yeah, I know Donald back here, he wants to say that Raymond Washington, someone that he taught school over at Washington, what was that high school he was, that he taught at Washington High School, you know, he was started. Yeah, they might have had a little neighborhood, little thing, but this thing that they had all across Los Angeles, all over, up and down the state, all over. I mean, they're all up and down California. That was not little local children doing that. Little local children cannot do that. That take like a police agency. I mean, a whole lot of them. And they got their direction, and they got their orders, and they got this routine. They got their policies how to do it. They used to do gang sweeps. I mean, even they showed me how powerful they was when during the Olympics. Okay, alhamdulillah. Hey, brother. Hey, how you doing? Okay. I got to do something right now, but I'm going to get back with you.
Okay.
I'm going to get back with you.
Okay. Brother Suja, sister, you're not through yet, brother?
Yes, she's through.
Okay. Well, you got it, Brother Suja?
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. I was out there when they were out there gang banging. I went to Los Angeles in '63.
Okay.
You know, and I stayed on Orange Drive, right next to what's the name of the city? Cover City. I lived there and. In '63, the gangs that I knew was one of them was the Lowrider. They called themselves the Lowrider. Most of all the people in Los Angeles, I would say, many of the people African American in Los Angeles is from Louisiana. Louisiana migrated to Los Angeles. The younger peoples, their fathers, and their granddaddies, most of them came from Louisiana. That's where we migrated to, Louisiana. And the majority of the people there in Chicago, they migrated from Mississippi. It's made up out of Mississippi. Alhamdulillah. I'm saying, well, for Allah's name, most gracious, most merciful, I bear witness and testify there's only one God. And I bear witness and testify, Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the prophet, the messenger of Allah, and he's God's servant. Praise be to Allah. He's a servant of God. And if we follow him, he's not one that we can't follow. We can follow him. He's God's servant, you know. And praise be to Allah, we also study the Ushwa of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, and try to apply that, you know. Praise be to Allah. So, brothers and sisters, we... I'd like to read something from the Holy Quran. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. Surah 9, starting at 111. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Allah has purchased of the believers their persons and their goods. But theirs in return is the garden of paradise. They fight in his cause and slay and are slain. A promise binding on him in truth through the law, the gospel, and the Quran. And who is more faithful to his covenant than Allah? then rejoice in the bargain which ye have concluded. That is the achievement supreme. Those that turn to Allah in repentance, that serve him and praise him, that wonder in devotion to the cause of Allah, that bow down and prostrate themselves in prayer, that enjoin good and forbid evil, and observe the limits set by Allah. These do rejoice. So proclaim the glad tidings to the believers. Sallallahu Kadeem. Surely Allah speaks the mighty. The mighty, the mighty, the mighty truth. Our young peoples is very knowledgeable, and they've been influenced by this technology. And the Imam told us to learn the technology and use it until you use it up. That's what he told us. He said, learn this technology. You know, many people have been spooked out, and, you know, they believe Jesus is coming back and things, you know. And our young people, I was listening at some young men today. I was looking at and listening some young men today that was presenting and talking about reparation. That believe in reparation. And I mean, these were young brothers, and they were super sharp. I mean, super sharp. And they had the ability to represent what they're talking about. Then they had a Jew on there. You know, he was kind of showing where it's not befitting that the American government pay African-American reparation. After they done paid the Jew reparation, they done paid the Indian reparation, they done paid the Chinese reparation. I can go on and on. I got a list right there of all those people that they pay reparation, and they can't give you a good reason. He couldn't give no kind of reason. Well, he would call himself giving reason. Yeah, he would call himself giving reason that the people that did what they did to African American, one of the things he said, they done died and gone, you know. And he was trying to he was trying to mess it up. And he sit back, relax, and read all back and lying and shooting out deceptions, you know. But this young brother ate it up. He tore him up. He tore him up. Praise be to Allah. And I was so happy to see somebody that could handle him, because this Jew, he laid back and like he wasn't excited about nothing. I can answer all questions and give you all solutions. And he wasn't giving, and you weren't answering one question, and he gave us no solution, you know. Anybody that's get on the television, they should know what they're talking about, you know. And because the one that know how to, what we call filibustering, they can talk about a whole lot and don't be saying nothing. A whole lot and don't be saying nothing. And the people would go for it. So the person that's on that should know their subject, to know their subject, and should be able to not let nobody deviate them, you know, into another direction. You know, they should be able to get on their subject and lay it out. You know, and if they want to develop it some more, if they want to develop it, you know, and show us where what we can do with reparations. We can establish businesses. That's the only way we're going to be able to compete, is by establishing business. Why can't we use reparation money to establish business? And we can show them, we can prove to them that it's more than what he was talking about by the way things are today. The Caucasian has all the wealth. They have all the land. And we can prove that. They easily can prove it. They got all the land, all the wealth. And that's right. They trick black people out of their land and stole their land from them. You know? I remember I used to watch cowboy movies, and I recall how the cowboy they go to a country, and how they claim they go out and mark land that they want. They not paying a penny for it. This was a movie. Yeah, it was first come, first serve. They go out there and mark the land that they want. Didn't have to pay up. They didn't have no money to pay for it. They had them in a line, and when they told them to go, they took off in those wagons and horses, and ran and established and marked the land that they wanted. These people, first of all, they destroyed the garden. They destroyed the garden. What I mean by the garden is the fruits. All the fruits was destroyed. They destroyed all that. And the reason they destroyed, because they knew they was gonna get land and plant some more on that land that they got, and then they're going to put it in the warehouse and they're going to sell it back to us for high price. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that don't have no mercy, and they definitely don't want us to get into business. They don't want our young people to get into business. They want to claim that they got their pants down, all that stuff. And some black people go for that, because we got a few of our people got their pants down. All our people don't wear their pants down. They ain't going to do nothing but spend the money up. That's what we got some black people saying. They ain't going to do much spend it up. They ain't doing wages. Man, look here. Our peoples manage money better than anybody here in America. They manage nothing. And use the little money that they had to develop something to try to set themselves free from the oppression and the pressure that people have on them. And we gonna sit up and listen to a nappy-haired Negro sit up there and don't know what he's talking about, and talk about that down themselves like that, and our people that we don't know what to do with money. So brothers and sisters, we got to keep teaching. We had to keep teaching and keep bringing the truth. Like someone said that Jesus said, know you the truth, and the truth will set you free. I came to you in peace. I'm going to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Always, Father. Brother Ibrahim, as-salamu alaykum. Ibrahim. You got 10 minutes, then you can close with prayer. If you got something you want to add to what's already been said, here's the time. You got it.
Is there anyone else on, or we got another sister there? Was it
no.
Diane? Come on.
No, she said go ahead.
Okay.
Nobody else raised their hand. Nobody else raised their hand. Go ahead.
Okay. As-salamu alaykum. You know, it's so much truth that's come out, especially tonight, and like we started from this morning, all praise be to Allah, and just so many things that's put into our minds from our former teacher, Imam Elijah Muhammad, all the way through Imam Muhammad, from Prophet Muhammad, really, to now. And the thing that's really shocking us is like how we are saying that how many communities be set up. And when me and Abba was talking today, and we was saying how we were flourishing from after the honor of Elijah Muhammad, and when Imam Muhammad come in and to remove certain things from our community to help us really grow and get a grasp on what's really taking place. And we knew during the first experience, we knew that we was infiltrated, but many times certain captains and ministers would tell us. And that way we would always be looking out for certain, you know, certain characters and certain things. It's just like when they dropped that bomb in Pennsylvania, when they're in Philadelphia, and wiped that whole block out, and then they come back to tell us that, you know, they were set up. So really, you know, being set up in this country is one thing, but when you play the damn part, to get people set up, that's another thing. And our people are good at that. And how they do that, the agencies, through money, you know, drugs, steal drugs from one side of town, take it to another side of town, and then the police became the hitmen for the dope man. We know that too. So we're going to stay vigilant. And that's why we always say, and y'all hear us say, all praise be to Allah. For what? For guiding us to the right path. Otherwise, Allah has taken us out of all that, moved us away from all that crap, and let the world go the way it's going, and for us to establish another world, something that people can really look at and marvel at and say, that's what I want. That's what I would like for my grandchild to grow up in. That kind of community, those brothers and sisters putting together right there. Because it's been a long time coming. Even though our leader, Imam Muhammad, echoed it out, but it fell on deaf ears. And the reason it fell on deaf ears because the deaf ears were the ones that was in leadership that was gifted the community in the damn beginning. No community can really be shut down like that. It's got to come from the top. That's why Imam Muhammad told her, where the shaitan hide at? He said, where the devil hide at? He hides at the top. What you mean? He get in position. And when he get in position, he start to tan things down slowly. But he do it through the body of the people where you can't see it. And we had that today. One of the greatest things we had in our community, and we always echoed it out, is Talim on Sunday. And we had instruction from our leader that when we have Talim on Sunday, he told the imams to always take some of the information that you had at your Jummah and bring the people that didn't make the Jummah up to spot and then go into your Talim. See, so all that was taken away. But look at the stride we were making when we had it. Look at the people that we were drawing to us that was coming into community, accepting Islam. So that same entity that we're talking about is destructive and destroy community, it still exists. Now it's the major way into Islam. We used to be strong enough where people would fear to come among us and try some crap like that. Because what happened? You mean tell we don't got that soft? That's why we can't build the community we're talking about building. That's why we can't give our children jobs and afford them to go to school to take up certain trade to come back and help us with this construction that we're trying to build. A new world, another community where people can feel safe to sit on their front porch, feel safe to come out in their yard and walk around. That's the kind of community we're trying to build. Well, before we build that, we got to eradicate the devil and them that's among us. We got to get rid of them. That's why our leader told us when he first come in, in order to follow me, you got to roll up your sleeves, take your hand, stick it down Satan's throat, and snatch out his vital organs. That's what he told us. We stopped doing that. What we're doing now, we're mimicking people that come from the East that you think they know the religion. Not only Manuel Mahodudi, who wrote the book Towards the Others of Islam about the Majedi, on Hajj 770 Imam Muhammad, he said for the people there, because he was over here in America, he said, don't come to America and try to lead these people. Talk about us. He said, leave them alone. They'll find this religion better than us. And I'm like, Muhammad said, don't follow them. Now, these two great people in our life, one a scholar, Mao Duty. We know him. Good friend of Imam Muhammad. And then Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't follow those people. Mao Duty said, don't go there and try to teach them. They'll find this religion better than you. So what happened to all that? How can we build the nation and the community we're trying to build for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, when we won't even stand up? And when you start standing up, you get phone calls. Oh, you heard somebody feeling. And we just read when Imam Muhammad said, correct him if he's out of error. What's wrong with us being corrected? See, that's our problem. We can't stand to be corrected. If you follow the leadership of Imam Muhammad, you won't have to worry about being corrected. You do right. I'm going to pause right here and close up with the dua. We got 3 minutes to nine. And then turn it back over to Akbar to further take us out. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahman r-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna l-insana lafi kusr. Illa ladina aminu wa amilu salihati. وتواصل بالحق وتواصل بالصبر آمين يا رب. So I want everybody to have a nice evening, what's left of it, and pray a lot of let us rise up in the morning, be able to call and talk with each other and share things with each other and ideas and keep moving. And I just want to let you know that BUI is on the move. We've said it. You don't see it right now, but you're going to see it. You're going to see it, inshallah, in a big way. Don't worry. And, you know, we're going to put a, anyway, I'll talk about that some other time. Akbar?
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. You know, another reason that the people's don't come forward and take charge is because they don't want to be used as a target. What I mean by a target is that I was listening to the imam today. He was talking to the brother. He said there's always somebody I want to criticize, that person is want to stay in that position, you know, because if he get up there, that one to criticize, if he get up there, then he's a target. He's a target, you know. I know this for a fact now, they're afraid to take on leadership positions. They're afraid to take it on because they gonna, like you say, call you on your telephone and threaten you and tell you that they love you and all that, and gonna be lying to you. They love you and tell you that I said something, I made a mistake and things like that. You know, but they won't tell. They won't say that in front of the people. They say it to you. So that's one of the biggest problems that we have. Is for African Americans, the young folks. That's what we suggesting to them. They don't establish that business. Take on that responsibility and face the opposition. That's what we got to prepare ourselves to face is opposition. And opposition is good for you. Opposition is good for you. You know, they said for a person to develop muscles and to build themselves up, they got to lift high. They got to get something heavier than they are and keep working with it. You know, and before you know it, you be the master that opposition. You know, go forth and establish a business, because a business is just an idea that you have in your head. That's what business is, and you make it reality. It's an idea in your head, and you bring it out your head and make it, you know, literally. Bring it into reality, you know. Many of us rather go and get a job, not even take on that type of position. They would do anything other than establishing business, you know. So that's a big problem. We got to take that fear out of them. We got to take that fear out of them so they'll step up and take on that position, you know, of establishing businesses. So alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That lady, she going to jump up here in a minute.
Well, like I said, alhamdulillah. Did you close out in prayer, Ibrahim?
Brother Ibrahim did.
Okay, he did. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, we thank you that she made the announcement. She gave me the close out. We thank everybody for showing up tonight. We got one more day tomorrow. May Allah bless us all. Thank you, Brother Sujah. Thank you, Brother Ibrahim. And thank you, Brother Hameed. We look forward to hearing from you tomorrow, too. May Allah bless us all as we get ready for tomorrow. Thank everyone for coming. We got to get ready for Mosque. Thank everyone. As-salam. Alaikum. May Allah continue to bless us all. Amen.
Amen. Walaikum as-salam. Take care now.